The FBI has for quite some time now assessed that the origins of the pandemic are most likely a potential lab incident in Wuhan.
The eugenics is just getting started. The elites managed to eliminate a fraction of the populace they must destroy through the virus and vaccines, surpassing the genocide of Nazi Germany.
All over the Western world, we are seeing very large, measurable increases in unexplained deaths. The BBC in Great Britain, for example, just reported that, quote, excess deaths in 2022 are among the worst in 50 years.
And does it damage the brain? You bet it does. Does it damage the heart? Yes. The liver? Yes. The bone marrow? Yes. It causes all sorts of harm in the human body. We should have stopped this before it ever started.
I'm seeing tremendous apathy. I'm seeing deaths, as you've mentioned, but no one seems to care. The family expresses no outrage. The obituaries don't mention the cause of death. It's just that, you know, a 24-year-old died, and that's it.
The clinical trials were never ordered. The good manufacturing practice compliance was never ordered. And, you know, legally speaking, there were never even clinical trial subjects or investigators, because if you cannot have an investigational product, then there is no investigation. So FDA leadership and then global regulatory leadership, what they did, they impersonated the regulators so that you fall for this lie and go get injected. Pfizer already in court stated that, please dismiss this case, judge. We did not defraud the government. We delivered the fraud that the government ordered.
However, their common goal is to reduce humans from nearly 8 billion people to a manageable slave populace of 500 million.
We cannot hide away from human population growth because, you know, it underlies so many of the other problems. All these things we talk about wouldn't be a problem if there was the size of population that there was 500 years ago.
And so, even though the pandemic has been largely exposed as a manufactured event, the elitists push forward, hedging their bets on more genocide as their silent kill strategy stumbles through its engineered propaganda.
Countries will begin negotiations on a zero draft of the new pandemic accord. These discussions will be crucial for building a more effective health security architecture for the future, grounded in international law, equity, and the fundamental right to health for all people.
A public health emergency of international concern, or a FAKE, is defined by the IHR as an extraordinary event which is determined to constitute a public health risk to other states through the international spread of disease and to potentially require a coordinated international response. This year, in 2023, we may still be in a pandemic for quite some time because this virus is here with us to stay, which means we have to take measured action, we have to improve all of our system to be able to reduce the impact of COVID-19 as we go forward.
It's a global treaty. They want 127 nations to sign it, and basically does hand over kind of our sovereignty, there's no other way to put it, to what will be a kind of a global health police, and giving all of the decision making to the World Health Organization, which of course is funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation disproportionately, and their best friends, the Chinese Communist Party.
The contract of the new draft is against the Constitution of America, against the laws and protection of human rights of America, etc., etc., etc. The law in America says whoever conspires to aim or work towards the goal to undermine the security, the dignity, or the integrity of the Constitution of the United States of America is committing high treason. Find out who from your government worked on that draft and then go for high treason, then you have the army behind you.
The World Health Organization pandemic treaty is deeply concerning. It seeks to give the discredited WHO huge powers over this country and our people. Powers to call pandemics, enforce lockdowns, enforce vaccinations, and decide when any pandemic is over.
We know from the pandemic, and we know from other outbreaks such as Ebola, that these diseases know no borders, and it is only through international cooperation and collaboration together that we will arrive at the solutions to ensure we do not have a repeat of the last few years.
How long before those who know someone who has died suddenly or those injured by the vaccines strike back once the war on humanity is completely 100%?
Right now, I'm not talking to the viewers and listeners that have gone to InfoWarsStore.com and gotten the great products that enrich your life, that empower your immune system and your body, and keep us on air. I am humbly, hat in hand, talking to the viewers and listeners that have tuned in, many of you for years, and never gone to InfoWarsStore.com. We know the vast majority of you never actually go to InfoWarsStore.com and never experience these great products and never find the operation. Sure, you share a link, you share an article, you tell folks about the show. That's great, and I thank you. But we need funds to operate. Plus, we've got really great products that do amazing things for people, like our CBD oil and our Fizzy Magnesium and our Sleep Aid and our Nitric Oxide and our Real Red Pill Plus. All of these are really great products that keep us on air. Plus, you're missing out on having these products. So get off the bench. Get in the game. Step to the plate and go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and get these great InfoWars products at InfoWarsStore.com.
Jesus joins us now, and after Scott Adams' video talking about race relations in the country went viral, he then went on and did a great interview with Hotep Jesus that also went viral. But, you know, before we get into the actual subject of discussion here, Hotep Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to start this interview off right. And so I want to offer the platform to you now and ask you, would you prefer to denounce your white supremacy or your black supremacy first? Which one would you like to denounce first here today?
Oh my God. How am I supposed to choose?
I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh, that's a hard one, man. It's a lot of white privilege and there's a lot of black privilege. I denounce them both. I denounce my black supremacy and my white supremacy. I think the hardest one to let go is my white supremacy, though. It feels so good to say I'm a black white supremacist.
Well, that's what you became because you had a conversation with Scott Adams, and all of a sudden that's what they start calling you.
Yeah. You know, the far left thinks I'm not black enough. And the far right thinks I'm too black. And I think that's what happens when you inject a little bit too much nuance into the conversation. And I said this before. I said, you know, anytime you're in the middle, you're a moderate, you're basically boring to people. You know, you got to be hard right. You got to be hard left. Otherwise, you know, people, and I get it too. Like, I totally understand, because sometimes when you're in the middle, people are like, well, whose side are you on? Are you voting for Biden? Are you voting for Trump? Are you with them? Are you with us? And it's like, trust me, I'm definitely not voting for any of the blue candidates. But at the same time, I totally get it, right? It's like, whose side are you on? Because the country's at a turning point. The country's at a turning point right now. It's been at one ever since they turned Occupy Wall Street into Black Lives Matter. And it's gotten serious. Socialism, communism is encroaching in all forms of matter. It's attacking our children. And it's infecting the political conversation, has been for a really long time. So I get the angst that everybody has. I get the apprehension and the tension in the around the country, around the world. But, you know, I'm definitely with, if I had to choose a side, I'm definitely with the right. But the conversation is very nuanced. And what Scott said, I thought was very provocative. And, you know, I've been labeled a provocateur myself. And when I saw Scott's comments at first, you know, my first reaction was, I thought it was absolutely hilarious that he said what he said. He said, you know, I suggest for white people to move away from black people. I just started cracking up because nobody's really going to say that and be serious, right? Outside of a few fringe groups on the right wing, like, nobody's really going to come out and say that and be serious. And the fact that he said it with a straight face, I found it entertaining and hilarious. And for everybody who took it serious, I'm like, either you like lack some common sense, or you aren't familiar with Scott Adams, so you thought he was like this right wing guy, or you just wanted to push an agenda. But, you know, when I heard him make the comments, I'm just like, guys, you know, you don't have to be a super genius to know you don't say things like that. So you had to know, you know, if you had any modicum of, IQ, you had to know that he was trolling. And, you know, as a fellow troll, I appreciated what he did.
Well, and I think, too, it's a level of anybody who couldn't handle that is really just lacking in their own confidence. They're lacking in their own intellectual confidence. They're lacking in their own confidence of understanding the nuance of race relations around them. And that's what you have. When you lack in confidence, you kind of lash out. And to me, that's what a lot of the response to the Adams segment was, is people that are lacking in their own confidence with their own intellect and their own worldviews. And so they just start lashing out at Scott Adams to cover up the fact that they really have no clue what's going on.
Yeah, but I think it comes back to the fact that people don't want to understand what he's saying. People don't want to admit that's a problem. You know, I spoke to one of my homies the other day who was able to escape the hood and, you know, become successful. And I said, I'm going to send you this clip and I want you to tell me what you think. Right. And he said, yo, offline. He was like, yo, he's right.
He's like, offline. Yeah.
He's like, yo, I don't want to say this publicly, but the guy's right. And I get what he's saying. And this is somebody who's like straight from the hood, you know, somebody who was incarcerated, did prison, you know, is a good representation of the hood. And he's like, yo, I don't find anything he said offensive at all. He's like, and I get why people are upset, but what he said is not exactly wrong. And I would agree, right? Like, you know, I'm a big proponent of free will. And if you want to separate yourself from some group of people, I think, you know, I'm going to clap for you. Good. Good for you. You know, go do what you want to do. I think there's many groups of people that have chosen to go off grid and do many different things. You know, when the Amish decide to be with Amish, nobody says anything. They applaud because the Amish don't want anything to do with this except to, you know, sell us some goods every once in a while. But, you know, I'm all about free association. When we look at the race relations in America, the race relations in America are what they are because free association was hardly ever given room to breathe. When we look at segregation and integration, both of them being forced. Well, when we had segregation, segregation was because people didn't like that black and white people got along. So they created segregation and said, no, we don't want you playing with the Negroes. And then when we looked at forced integration, it's the same thing. It wasn't voluntary. They forced it on us. They said, you have to be with these black people. And in both of those situations, it's going against the free will of people. Everybody wants to have their own freedom of association. And I think we need to support that in any way how and applaud it when people do it.
You know, here's what I also see happening. The left wants to have the race conversation, right? I mean, they want to shove it in your face. They want everybody to face it. They want everybody to talk about it, but they want to control it. And so when Scott Adams puts out his segment that is not controlled or dictated by the left, but gets seen millions of times, again, you see the same people freaking out, chanting racism, white supremacy, this, that, and the other thing. But it's really because he's having a race conversation, but not under their control.
You nailed it. That's exactly what I was going to say. They want to have the race conversation, but they want to control it. They want to control me, right? Or the black person that's in that conversation. Here's the hard line stance you have to have, and white man bad, and what he said is bad, and you're not allowed to say these things. It's exactly that. They want to control it, but this is how they're able to manipulate the race conversations. They want to keep people in their bubble, and what they understand is if white and black people opened up lines of communications, you would find that they would have common ground. If black folks and white conservatives opened up lines of communications, I believe they would find that they have more in common than they have in difference. And that would basically render the Democratic Party impotent. They would have no power. Black people might actually start voting Republican. But what they do is they keep people in a bubble using the stench technique. And the stench technique is basically like what they did to Trump. Oh, this person is racist. Stay away. This person is a white supremacist. Stay away. They said this. They said that. Stay away. So that there is no chance for conversation. Because anytime somebody sits down like we are and we're having a logical conversation and we're allowed to express how we feel freely, you find that many adults find common ground. And that's the last thing they want. They don't want people finding common ground because what happens? When people find common ground, they no longer need the government. the government no longer has to be the arbiter and the judge and the medium. And once it renders the government impotent or obsolete, what are they here for?
Well, and the next question I want to ask, I'm going to let you think about it in the break because it's kind of a heavier one. And whenever the topic of race or, you know, we see all kinds of videos that surface on the internet, it seems like we can't get away from it now. And I always kind of look back and thinking like, you know, maybe you just shouldn't talk about it at all. You know, what does even talking about it do? And so my question as we hit the break here for you to ponder in the break and we'll ask on the other side is, does talking about it help? Is it helping the race relations to talk about it, or is it harming the race relations? Or is there a way to kind of thread that needle and walk that tightrope to make it something positive? We'll ask this to Hotep Jesus on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere.
Humanity is in a fight for its very life. And InfoWars, for decades, has been at the very forefront of the fight for a pro-human future. We can't stay on air without your help, and I want to thank you all for your past support. And I want to encourage those of you that have never bought products at InfoWarsStore.com to go there and experience how amazing these products really are. Ultimate Bone Broth, finally sold out for over 2 years, back in stock. Real Red Pill Plus, simply amazing. Nitric Boost, what it does for your heart, and cardiovascular, critical. All these products like Ultimate Krill Oil, Ultimate Fish Oil, Supermel Vitality, they're all available and in stock, ready to ship to you right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And the final 1,200 signed copies of my book, The Great Reset and the War for the World, and I'm not going to sign any more after that, are exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com as well. In the last month, I got a little busy, so I didn't sign the books. We didn't have them for sale. But now I signed the last books. You can get them right now. Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars has proven itself the last 28 years to be over the globalist target and having the biggest effect out there against those tyrants. And we fund our operation with viewers and listeners' support while selling you great products at the same time. So I want to thank all the viewers and listeners who have supported us over the years by spreading the word, praying for the broadcast, and buying product. But I really want to encourage those of you that have been on the fence, have never actually gone to InfoWarsStore.com, to go there and get the great books and films and supplements and survival gear that's there that won't just empower you and enrich your life, but again, will keep this broadcast transmitting. So whether it's Real Red Pill Plus or our super high quality CBD oil or the 50% off or our great physio magnesium product, or whether it's Down and Out, our great sleep aid that's back in stock, it's all there. Our turmeric, 95% cumanoid, strongest out there, turmeric 95, it's all available at InfoWarsStore.com. And it keeps us on the air. So make the decision to enrich your life and keep us on air. InfoWarsStore.com.
Thousands of former Nazis went to work for the United States government.
A flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
Here is a bulletin from CBS News. President Kennedy has been shot.
This is a different kind of war.
The USS Liberty had just been attacked by Israeli jets and torpedo boats.
The CIA could manipulate the news in the United States.
They took the babies out of incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just tanked.
We need to go into the Capitol!
You will always have conspiracy theories. They are nothing but distractions.
You guys censored Harvard-educated doctors. You silenced those voices.
What we want to do in Davos is push the reset button.
As soon as we start exposing the Great Reset, the sooner these globalists start going to prison!
I don't know, guys. Do you think the beard is intimidating? Do you think it's too much?
Yeah, I mean, it looks pretty good, but I don't know, it's just a beard.
It's just not that intimidating, dude.
Just a beard, huh? What about...
I gotta go to the bathroom. Dude, that's intimidating, man. That's freaking awesome. You're on in five.
Get your hair and beard formula at InfoWarsStore.com.
Sexy.
And intimidating.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, we're back here live on the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. My guest is Hotep Jesus. I asked the question, he was thinking about it in the break. Does talking about the race relations in America help or hurt the issue? And I would just kind of frame it like this, because as somebody that's on air a lot covering news, obviously this is a subject that continues to come up. And usually what happens after a show, and you reflect on what you said during the show, every time with the race stuff, I'm like, you know, I feel baited into it because it just doesn't feel real to me. Because as soon as I leave here, I'm going to go to the gas station and the guy that checks me out, the clerk, is going to be white. I'm going to go out to dinner and the lady that takes my order and serves my food is going to be Hispanic. And I'm going to go to a football game and the guy that's sitting next to me with his family is going to be black. And guess what? Nobody cares. So it's like this weird thing where it's like it's not even real, but we're talking about it all the time. And obviously it's nuanced and there is situations and real stuff out there. But I mean, the general question, does talking about it help or hurt? What do you think, Hotep Jesus?
Okay, so there's a lot to extrapolate here. Number one, acting like the elephant in the room doesn't exist isn't going to remove the elephant. In fact, the elephant eventually is going to trample you. But you make a great point. The way they make it seem is though, like there's this huge race problem in America, and it's not as big as it seems on social media, but there is a huge racist problem. And the thing is, we have to change how we talk about racism in America. Right now, the Democrats control how we talk about racism in America, but the Democrats are the perpetrators of racism in America. And I've used this example before. If black people weren't getting hired at major corporations, but these are the same major corporations who are leftists, then doesn't that mean that the leftists weren't hiring black people? So who's really racist? If the KKK was founded by the Democrats, why are the Democrats controlling the conversation? If the inner cities are being controlled by Democrats, why are we not talking about the conversation in that regard? You see, what they want to do is they want to make it class versus class, right? Or I should say poor blacks versus poor blacks, because, you know, the middle class, upper class tend not to have these same issues. What they want to do is they want to make the poor fight each other while it's them who's perpetrating all of the crimes against the black community. It's mostly coming from the government, particularly the Democrats. If we were to change the conversation like that, then I don't think the Democrats would want to have that conversation anymore, and then the conversation would disappear. The other thing I would like to say is, if we're not going to talk about racism, what will we talk about? And that becomes a new conundrum. For example, if we replaced racism with classism, which is much closer to the truth, you would start to sound like Karl Marx. And that would lead us down a very particular road to where years later people will say, well, can we stop talking about classism? So what should we talk about? Well, I think we could talk about the mismanagement of government and everybody would get along. And I think that's really the bigger conversation. And I think when we talk about racism, we talk about classism, these are things to distract people from the perpetrators that have created crimes against humanity. If you look at the various operations, or if you look at the Gulf of Tonkin incident, we start to see lots of criminal activity, or I would say crimes against humanity, created by the United States government. And if we could do a much better job in putting better senators, and we can put better House of Reps in there, I think then we can start to change this country. But the conversation needs much more nuance. We need to dive into, for example, why is it that Democrats want to remove guns? But gun control was really something that came about due to racism. When black folks started arming up, then they wanted to take away guns. But if you, and I said this during our conversation with Scott Adams, you know, blacks have a lot in common with conservatives, primarily God, money, and guns. We're capitalists. Black community is very much capitalist. Black community loves God. We're very much church-going people. And we love guns. Everybody knows black people love guns. So if we focused on just those three things and talked about those three things, God, money, and guns, yeah, the race conversation would solve itself. The class conversation would solve itself. But these are the three things, the main three things that socialists, Marxists, communists, leftists, Democrats want to expunge. They want to get rid of. They want to get rid of God. We know this because they have satanic acts carried out when they do their drag queen story hour. They ain't nothing but Satan. They want to get rid of guns. Everybody knows that. Everybody sees that. And the CBDC's coming around. They want to get rid of money as we know it. They're anti-capitalist. They're socialist. They're communist. So these are the three pillars that blacks and conservatives agree on that Democrats hate. If we could get on the same page with those three items, you know, the race conversation would solve itself, like I said.
I think we're really getting down to the root of it here. And by the way, I love when I see liberals responding to the argument, hey, the Second Amendment shall not be infringed. You can't write these gun laws. And they say, well, not everybody was allowed to have a gun in 1776. I always have the same response. Oh, really? Tell me who wasn't allowed to have the guns. Would you expand on me that for a second? Who wasn't allowed to have guns in 77? Oh, that's right. Slaves, black people. Oh, geez. They don't like to remember that, their own history. But getting back to the points you just raised, I think we're getting to the root cause of the problems here. The reason why the Democrats want to control the race conversation is because Democrats know if they don't have black people voting for them, they have no power. They're never going to win another election in the history of this country. So they have to keep black Americans voting Democrat, thinking the white man is the boogeyman, their enemy, and the Democrat Party is going to protect him from that boogeyman. When and this is what I'm starting to see, too, with other people on social media, influencers, commentators, talk show hosts, is they're having the same realization and they're saying, wait a second. Hey, I'm an American. No matter what color my skin is, I have the right to have guns. I have the right to be prosperous in a capitalist economy. And by the way, I want to raise my sons to be sons and my daughters to be daughters. Well, that's actually, these are conservative Republican values. And now you're reaching the issue of the modern day Republican Party just not even getting that, or too scared to reach out to the inner city communities, or too scared to go in to the inner city communities. You can take that message into any inner city right now. And if you actually show up, boots on the ground, and you talk to single mothers, or you talk to grandparents or aunts and uncles who are raising children, you're gonna flip those votes quickly. It just takes a little bit of effort.
It's, you know, people talk about how difficult it is to win the black vote. And I'm like, if you wanted the black vote, you could get the black vote. It's really easy to get the black vote. I just told you what you need to talk about. God, money, and guns. And you'd get it immediately. Black men would be like, oh, yeah, more guns for me. I love it. More money for me. I love it. More God for me. I love it. But it just doesn't seem like people want to get the black vote.
Well, hopefully this is changing. And I think the world is waking up to what the Democrat Party really represents, whether it's for white people, black people, Hispanic people. It's all the same, folks. Less prosperity, less freedom, less being in command of your future. We'll be right back.
Today, the greatest risk of global catastrophe doesn't look like this. Instead, it looks like this. If anything kills over 10 million people in the next few decades, it's most likely to be a highly infectious virus rather than a war. First, we've got population. Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. The ultimate solution, the only thing that really lets us go back completely to normal and feel good about sitting in a stadium with lots of other people, is to create a vaccine and not just take care of our country, but take that vaccine out to the global population.
It's just who I told you, Bill Damn Gates. I look at the news coming in. Every one of these stories certifies and confirms our worst nightmares. We're deep inside the New World Order now. Overnight, all the hard-fought liberties are gone, and the Mark of the Beast is announced. It's just who we told you would do the announcement. Closest thing to the Antichrist on this planet is Bill Gates. Creepy, evil medical officer of the New World Order. Who's pushing 5G? Dickhead. Who's pushing weather modification? Jerk off. In fact, I shouldn't even joke around. Those names are too kind for him. He is a manifest hole in hell. I told you he's the chief science officer of the New World Order. Folks over the years are like, why do you harp on Bill Gates? Because they're devil worshippers. They like to kill people. Look, folks. There is a fallen off-world consciousness that likes to destroy humans. And it is here jacking us. And they're on TV saying they love to drink the blood of children and kill babies and worshiping Satan and saying they're going to merge with AI gods. I mean, this is horrible. They're going to release stuff that starts killing hundreds of millions every season. See, you're going to get those vaccines, and then all of a sudden you're going to feel lumps all over your body. You're going to have lymphatic cancer. That's what they give you. And you're going to get blood cancer. You just, and it's the loving doctrine. Oh, I'm going to help you. Oh, liberal. Oh. And they're going to get you and take you in, and they're going to hit you with radiation and bug poison.
Is spending $1 million on that last 3 months of life for that patient, would it be better not to lay off those 10 teachers and to make that trade-off in medical costs? But that's called the death panel, and you're not supposed to have that discussion.
So, if you don't take the shots we want to give you, we're going to have you taken off the internet for now, and you won't be able to leave your house unless you take the shots. So take the shots, because there's just too many people. I'm Bill Gates reminding you, don't go to band.video and just do what I say. We need more childhood death, okay? Bye-bye. And I almost forgot, I'm wearing a pink sweater.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room
with Owen Schroyer.
All right, we got another segment here with Hotep Jesus. And, of course, this fallout, which is really why was Scott Adams' segment so viral? Again, like we discussed, because the left wants to control the conversation of race, and the minute they lose control over that, they go into a conniption fit, and they start hurling their normal ad hominem attacks and racist this and racist that, and they don't want you to have the actual discussion about the issues. Now, here's where I see solutions coming into the fold. Let's talk about why our inner cities struggling with poverty and class warfare and schools that are not even teaching children how to do math and read. Well, there's reasons. It's because we've shipped out manufacturing jobs. We've shipped out industry overseas. And so those used to be good paying jobs. You could work in a factory and make $50,000, $100,000, $150,000 and raise a family and live in the city and send them to a nice school. Well, that's gone. We have the issue of now mothers getting paid by the U.S. government to kick the father out of the household. And so now you got kids being raised without a father. I mean, these are the real issues. And quite frankly, it doesn't matter what skin color you have. You can do it to white people, black people, brown people. You're going to have the same exact issues. But we do see this in the inner cities, and it does affect mostly black people. So How do we steer the conversation, like you were saying in the last segment, towards the actual issues so that we can provide solutions?
Well, I like what happened with Scott Adams. I think our video right now has over 170,000 views or something like that, and which is quite reflective of how nuclear this conversation is. That, you know, people have, to me, it's the reaction from people is, we've never seen this type of conversation before. We've never seen a black guy talk to a white guy about these race issues, and it hasn't devolved into name calling ad hom and talking over each other. Everyone was really impressed with the interview. And to me, it was just, you know, just another one of my interviews. I like to look at things very pragmatically and objectively. But, you know, when we track back the issue of America, if we track back the issue of black poverty, it's actually no different from any other type of poverty. You know, I like to start with Vietnam War. I think the Vietnam War was the first major blow. You know, let's not include slavery. Let's talk about post-slavery. Vietnam, you send the men out to go fight the oligarchs' war. And if we're talking about black men specifically, they came home with addictions. It was a very gruesome war, Vietnam. I believe there was Operation Popeye was part of this thing where they were practicing weather manipulation. But it was such a gruesome war. And to deal with that, I can understand why somebody would come home with some addictions. So then they went home. Or came home. Well, first they go off to war, deal with the gruesomeness, fight a war they didn't want to fight, then come home with these addictions, and then get thrown in jail. So what happens to the kids of that generation? Because when you look at the black community around this time, they were coming together. Also, if we look at the eradication of black leaders, particularly Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, if we look at traitors like W.E.B. Du Bois, who had great leaders like Marcus Mosiah Garvey extradited because the NAACP didn't agree with the tactics of Marcus Garvey, where Marcus Garvey was practicing black capitalism and NAACP wants more socialism and communism. They wanted their style. They wanted integration. You know, these are the things they asked for. And the black community didn't ask for any of these things. So then we fast forward and then we get a lot of socialism comes in a form of welfare, renders people inept. It incentivizes women to not be with their man. All of these things point back to one single culprit. It's communism. So what's the thing that's going to really pull the black community out of the situation? It's going to be capitalism. It's going to be about black business. So what happened to black business? Black business started thriving in America, started doing really well. And then they hit us with what? China, the bug. Destroyed 50% of small business, period. If you include black business was eradicated during this period. And then what'd they do? They allowed McDonald's to stay open. They allowed Target to stay open. They allowed Walmart to stay open. So when you look at the current trend of what's going wrong with the black community, it all seems to point back to the White House, to the government, to Congress, D.C. It's all point. It's not, you know, the hillbilly who's saying the N-word. They don't have power over the black community. It's been mostly the perpetration of the United States government. We know that Malcolm X's family right now is looking to sue the United States government or the three-letter agencies, I'm not sure, for the murder of Malcolm X. So when you look at the black community, you wonder why it is the way it is. It keeps pointing back to the same government. It keeps pointing back to the same type of policies, communism and the three-letter agencies. So if you could just leave us alone. You know, that's why I say, you know, to Democrats, well, when I pitch the idea of Republican, you know, voting Republican to black people, you know, the one thing I always hear them say, they say Republicans don't care. And I go, good. That's what you should want. You should want somebody who doesn't care because the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So what the Democrats do, they come in, they pretend like they care, then they stab you in the back when it looks like they're trying to help. And that's not what you want. What you want is a hands-off approach. Even when we look at the economy of the United States of America, I always tell people the best economic stance is no economic stance. Don't inject more money. Don't print more money. leave it alone. Because every time you touch it, you break it and you make it absolutely much, much worse. So the same thing with the Black community. If you want to help the Black community, leave us the hell alone. Democrats, leave us the hell alone. Stop coming into our communities and asking for our vote. You don't do anything for us. Leave us the hell alone. Stop the programs. Like I always talk about, if I became president, what are some things I would do? And borrowing from the great Walter Williams. I mean, Walter Williams, Thomas E. Soler, two Black individuals, great minds that aren't celebrated during Black History Month. And if you celebrate them, you're called an outcast and a coon and a sellout and all these other things. But these are two of the greatest economic minds. But Walter
Thomas Soler, arguably the greatest. I mean, he was a brilliant economic mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But when we look at Walter Williams, what'd he say? He would start pulling back some of these executive orders. And that's what I would do. I would start pulling back some of these programs. Let's look at the Black community, how they handled their problems in the past, before there was welfare. Before there was welfare, they had mutual aid societies. So people say, well, if we don't give Granny Medicare, Medicaid, health care, and all these things, then Granny's going to die. And that's just not the truth. What will happen is you'll have a Black community that will be forced to come together. They'll create mutual aid societies, and Granny will be just fine. I mean, over 60% of the NFL are Black wealthy men. We have an entertainment industry, Beyonce, Jay-Z, all of these people are billionaires, Rihanna billionaires. You mean to tell me that if the government stopped taking care of Black people, these people wouldn't step up? I know they would step up. We have great Black capital, great Black wealth. We don't need the government to help us. We don't need Democrats to help us. We don't need socialist, communist policies. We can take care of ourselves. So if you're looking at the solution is leave me the hell alone and I can take care of my own.
And really, that should be everyone's attitude. That should be every American's attitude, generally speaking, getting back to the ideas of self-government and accountability. But people don't want the accountability.
No. And that's the problem. You know, that's the huge problem. With freedom comes accountability and responsibility. You know, somebody asked me, how did I get to where I was? And it was because I blamed every single problem and every single success in my life on myself. But all that did was make me more powerful. If people stopped looking outside of self and looked inward and said, you know what? Every single problem my community has is our fault. And every single success is our fault. You would take back your power. You would relinquish it from anybody else and you'd start winning.
All right. Too much momentum to stop this now. Let's do one more segment because, folks, this leads into the biggest thing here. And that's the victim economy and the victim mindset. It's time to put that to rest on the other side with Hotep Jesus. One more segment.
Yo, Rom, I got that video that you wanted me to do the report on. Do you want a 5 or a 10 minute video? Rob, do you want a 5 or a 10 minute video report? What is going on? What the? Oh my gosh.
I've got some good news. Our high-quality supplements really work, and we have about an 80% reorder rate with customers. That's the good news. They're amazing. The bad news is around 1% or a little less of our actual viewers and listeners ever go to InfoWarsStore.com and ever actually buy the products. So you're missing out on these products, plus it funds the InfoWar. Think of what we've done with just 1% of our massive audience actually buying products. Think what would happen if those of you on the fence actually went to InfoWarsStore.com and got some of these amazing products. I would recommend Turmeric 95 for your joints, your bones, inflammation, to get one of the biggest effects so you reorder it and see how great it is. Also, we've got the super high quality full spectrum CBD oil that's so good for your neurological systems, your brain, your joints, your bones as well. Or Real Red Pill Plus. Just go try the product, fund the InfoWar, and help us defeat the new order together. InfoWarsStore.com.
You're being driven over the edge of a cliff right now. There's not much time to turn the damn wheel. And look, of all the bureaucrats and all the trendies and all the talk show hosts and all the people at their New York cocktail parties and their Los Angeles cocktail parties, really think you're immune because Russia's 10,000 miles away,
You may feel like you're immune from this, but there are Russian submarines off our coasts in the Atlantic and the Pacific and in the Gulf of Mexico that could destroy every U.S. city in 5 minutes. Mach 9 missiles that cannot be shot down. 5 minutes, Chicago, New York, Austin, L.A., Miami, Tampa, Seattle, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Detroit, Houston, Atlanta, gone, 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 gone. And we're dealing with the Russians that lost 22 million people in World War II, and they're ready for nuclear war. If the globalists running our country would have said, let's have a potentially world-ending event, there would have been massive demonstrations and massive political pressure, and this would have been stopped. In fact, depending on the national poll, they run about 75 to 87% of the people in this country are smart enough to know we don't want to be in a big war on Russia's border with nuclear weapons laying around everywhere. And that evil pedophile puppet, Joe Biden, now giving a Hitlerian nighttime speech about war and escalated war with Russia. And if people think the train derailment and the toxic black plumes of smoke are bad in Ohio, it's nothing compared to what a nuclear war does, turning every city and every town into a smoking, toxic ruin. It'll be the end of civilization, the end of most life on Earth as we know it, and we are seconds away on the doomsday clock. And all of it because George Soros and the Rockefellers and the Rothschild crime axis wants global domination. And now the New World Order has its global crisis to bring in its cashless society enslavement grid.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Great stuff here with Hotep Jesus on the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. And the final topic I want to get into now is this idea of being a victim as an empowering thing, the victim economy, and they want to teach the youth this. And there's all kinds of victims they want you to believe. Oh, I'm a victim because I'm gay, or I'm a victim because my skin color, or I'm a victim because of this, that, or the other thing. And you were talking about this on the last side, and I kind of had a similar self-revolution, if you will, in my mind, because the truth is, if we're all victims, we're all victims of the U.S. government. And maybe some people via the justice system. And I remember I went through some times when I was younger and I made some stupid decisions and I had the book thrown at me and it was totally injustice. But I remember as a young man thinking to myself, I can make a decision right now whether I'm going to choose to be a victim and complain about being a victim, or I'm going to stand up, take responsibility for my actions and come out better on the other side. And I chose the latter. I'm grateful I did. But we're all victims to the U.S. government. They all steal our money and use it for wars and giving to their friends and the Green Energy Department and everything else. And so here's the way I think we can kind of change this whole idea of the victim economy and being a victim is empowering. And I would say, whenever you hear people talking about being a victim, say, what I want you to do as an exercise, instead of using the word victim, start using the word loser, because that's what you are. And as soon as you start exercising that, and instead of saying victim, saying loser, you realize, oh, wait, I am just a loser. And you are a victim of yourself being a loser. And so this whole idea of the victim economy, it needs to go away or culture is going to collapse.
You know, the problem, there's several problems here. But one major problem with everybody being a victim is that real victims are minimized, drowned out. Right. There are victims of human trafficking. There are victims of sex trafficking, sexual assault. These people are real victims. So while, you know, you're crying because somebody didn't call you the right pronoun, somebody with a real problem, maybe abuse or whatever it is not being taken care of. Now, let's talk about what victim mentality is. Victim mentality is the bat signal, except Batman ain't showing up. A parasite is. because it shows that you're available to be exploited. And that's what socialists do very well. See, what socialists do is they're a parasite that attaches itself to an exploited, struggling minority community, exploits their struggle for the benefit of the socialist agenda. Black community is an example of this. So they say, oh, black people, you know, you're complaining about this issue. For example, they said police brutality was an issue. Okay, no problem. Instead of saying, well, maybe if we can take a look at the problem to find out that black men of a certain socioeconomic status don't have this problem as much as poor black men do, maybe the issue is really an economic issue and not really a police issue. Instead of trying to reform the police, why don't you reform the people? They won't have that conversation because what they do, they said, well, let's install body cams. You know, a body cams ain't nothing but Big Brother. It's the increase of a surveillance state. And when they first brought that out, I'm like, oh, okay, so what you're basically going to do is you're going to catch more black people or more crimes because you got more cameras. But again, the socialists who love having a police state. If you look at Stalin, he had a very strong police state. Lenin, very strong police state. Soviet Union, very strong police state. This is what they like. They love having a police state where they have control over the people. But again, coming back to what you were saying about being a victim, it's just a signal to parasites for people to latch onto you and basically to strip you of your power. But you're the one, you know, like I said, you know, at one point in my life, I was like an extreme black nationalist. I saw white people. I got really angry. And I remember one day I saw this white person outside and I started getting hot and bothered. And I said to myself, you know, does this person feel this rise in temperature within my body? Do they feel this pain body? And I said, no, they don't feel it. They're perfectly happy. They don't even know that I'm angry. And that's what I said to myself. I'm like, this is stupid. This is absolutely ridiculous for me to be mad at somebody. And then I started, you know, and of course, a lot of this came back to the fact that I wasn't where I wanted to be financially. So I was taking my poverty out on other people. But the minute I said, you know what? No, it's not the white man's fault. It's not the government's fault. It's not my girl, my parent. It's nobody else's fault. It's my fault. And the minute I changed my mind to that, my whole life transformed, because then nobody had the ability to take away or give me money. I was doing it all on my own or with the assistance of others through partnerships. And it's very transformative. And that's why I don't like it for the black community. Always be complaining about white people. Like, I get it. If you want to sit down and list all the crimes perpetrated by white people and the government, you could do that. That is definitely, you know, one way to look at things. But after you finish complaining and everything, you're left with, what are you going to do now? What next? What is your plan to combat all of this? Is it to complain about the problem? Because if you say on one hand that the government is the problem, and then you go to government and say, government, can you fix this? That makes absolutely no sense. You wouldn't ask your enemy to fix your problems. That makes absolutely no sense. Obviously, it's something you have to do within your community to pull yourself up. And then always have the argument, say, well, every time we try that, you know, they kill one of our leaders. And that's very true. That's very true. So then what happens? Well, maybe you need to start looking at the micro leaders. Maybe you need to start looking at, what are your preachers saying inside the church? What are your personal black politicians saying? What are your entertainers saying? You have to look at the micro leaders within the community. I would consider myself one of those micro leaders. And then if everybody has a change in mentality culturally, for example, when I look at Black History Month, Black History Month to me comes off as White History Month. And I have a lot to say on this topic, but it's White History Month because everything about Black history during this month seems to be in juxtaposition to white people. This is what white man did. This is what white man did. This is what. And it's like, OK, Black History Month is supposed to be about black people. Can we talk about black people? But the funny thing is, you can't even do that anymore, because I saw the other day, my friend sent me a text message, and for Black History Month, they were teaching a 9-year-old girl on one page of coloring book, the rainbow flag. And on the next page, it was about trans people. So right now, the big thing is You can't even be pro-black unless you're pro-trans or you're pro-rainbow. And I have no problem with this segment of the population. But we saw at the NAACP Image Awards, Gabrielle Union, she got up on stage. She made this big, long spiel. Now we know her, well, I guess it's daughter-in-law now because Zaya Wade or Dwayne Wade's son is now a girl or something like that.
Yep.
So we know that her stepdaughter now, or used to be stepson, stuff gets confusing so fast, is trans. But now at the NAACP Image Awards, this is a big thing where she gives this big speech about trans people. I said, what does this have to do with black people? And again, this is another situation where socialists are able to take another group's problems and distract the black people, and black people were doing well for themselves or starting to come together, and distract them and say, well, worry about this other group of people. Don't worry about yourself. Worry about this other group of people. And it's like, what is the trans issues? What is the LGBT issues have to do with black issues? And again, this is a Democratic push to make sure black people don't lift themselves up out of poverty. Because if they do that, they won't be the party of poverty anymore.
And isn't it really sad, though? I mean, when you look at this issue, because to me, I look at Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union basically sacrificing their son is kind of the view I have of it. And I would just put it like this. Okay, your son is now your daughter. Guess what? You're not going to procreate. No grandkids for you. So that's the end of your family. That's the end of your lineage. I guess that's pro-black. But as we finish up this interview, you know, I'm just curious. Has anybody asked for Kanye West's opinion on Black History Month? Has he offered his opinion on Black History this month yet?
I don't think anybody wants Kanye's opinion on anything right now.
Oh, yay. I'm sorry. It's yay. I dead named him again.
I'm sorry, yay.
Darn it. Darn it. Well, maybe Kyrie Irving can offer it if they don't want to go to yay for that. Hotep Jesus, great stuff as always. Tell people where they can find your Scott Adams interview and all your other great work.
Yeah, go to hotepjesus.com. That'll link to all of my social channels. But that is live right now on YouTube.com, Hotep Jesus. And tomorrow I'll be speaking to Viva Frey. He wants to talk to me about Scott Adams and some of the race relations here in America. So that's going to be another blockbuster. So I think that's tomorrow. We're set up for noon. So check that out.
Awesome. Awesome. There it is. Hotep Jesus. HotepJesus.com. Always a pleasure. You know,
I
really think we got to get Kanye out here for Black History Month. I think Kanye should do a Black History Month expedition here.
I'm combat model, optimal self-sufficiency, probably the leader. Already set up operations against them. We've already exposed them so bad. All our past work, it's like money in the bank. It's already, I can get killed tomorrow or put in prison or whatever. We already them up. We them hard. We them hard. You, New World Order. We you.
One more to go.
Right. Well, you mean like what Jeffrey Epstein did with the Clintons?
I am in the arena. Yeah! This is where I want to be! This is the way to go down, baby! This is just the beginning. My destruction will be spectacular! Oh, I'm combat model, optimal self-sufficiency, probably the leader. I'm just here to tell you, we can see you. Miles and miles and miles.
Hold up.
receiving this transmission. You are the resistance.